Back in the day, we channel scanned for something to watch, having to choose a show to watch. Sometimes this meant sacrificing one for another. We know it was awful. So much TV, so little time. But streaming changed all that, except for our ever-growing watch lists. Welcome to Snacks and Snark with Chris and Elsa, a bi-weekly podcast where we will watch a TV show sitting in our watch list and have a talk about what we thought was better, the snacks or the show. So grab your favorite snacks and join us this week as we watch Gilmore Girls. And our snack of this episode is Lundenberg Family Farms Brown Rice Cakes Cinnamon Toast Flavored.
Powerful.
Very graceful. No way did it go all over the desk.
That did not go as smoothly as I thought it would.
So, this is our premiere episode. Welcome if you are coming from Novel Ideas.
Hi.
We're glad to have you.
Also, hi if you don't know us from Novel Ideas and you just happened upon us.
Novel Ideas is our other podcast where we actually review books. And unlike this, Novel Ideas is us essentially going off a script and breaking down what we thought of books and telling the other person about the book.
So basically we write a book report about the book we read, and then throughout explaining the book to the other person who didn't read it, we have a conversation.
This show is going to be us doing TV. If you would like to hear our thoughts on movies we will start watching, you can also join our Patreon. For $1 you can join the Discord, you can talk about all this stuff with us. For $3, that will give you access to the bonus episodes, which will include those movie episodes, plus bonuses on Novel Ideas for when we do drop books that are bonus from that.
So with this podcast here that we're doing, in comparison to Novel Ideas, we were talking about how we do like the book report and reaction format. This is just us watching a few episodes and then immediately recording afterwards with our fresh thoughts. Like, there is no script here. Any notes we take are taken during the watching of the show.
And
so this is all fresh thoughts.
And we are recording this directly after watching.
So, for example, today we watched the first three episodes of Gilmore Girls. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what Gilmore Girls is about, it is a TV show that premiered in 2006 with millennial girls and their moms, I believe, as the target audience. So it would have been during my girlhood. 2006, I was 19. So the description on Netflix for this show reads as follows. In a charming, slightly off-center town called Stars Hollow, a mother and daughter lean on community and strong coffee as they chase their dreams. So it's a show where it's like mother-daughter best friends and they're like growing up together. For those of you who are unfamiliar, I didn't actually watch Gilmore Girls in its prime, but the target audience was millennial girls and their moms, I think, back in 2000s, like the early 2000s. But it's a show that people of my age group often rewatch as a comfort show, and I'm one of the weirdos who is now just watching it, even though you would have think I would have watched it 1,000 years ago. So neither Chris or myself has seen this show, so we are giving genuine reactions, and some of this definitely aged like a fine milk.
Okay, so we're going to, because the show aged like a fine milk, let's jump into the chunks of said aged fine milk.
The curdles. The milk curdles.
And like we said, we watched the first three episodes, so we're going to start with our discussion of episode one, which was titled
Pilot!
In which we meet Lorelai coming into Luke's diner and Luke telling her, you drink too much coffee, and judging her. And her being like, I drink just enough coffee. And him being like, no, you drink too much. And then finally giving her coffee.
An introduction to the fact that coffee is basically central to Lorelai's existence.
Because it's so unique and quirky.
And Lorelai, of course, is the mom.
Yes.
And the daughter is Rory, who is also a Lorelai, because feminism.
Right. We then have her go and sit down, and creepy guy comes over and hits on her. Like, just is, like, creepy. Like, I don't know if they meant to play it like that, or...
Oh, they did, because he also hits on Rory.
Like, at that point. But I'm saying at the beginning part, like, where he was just hitting on the mom, it was like, I think he was just meant to be, like, an annoying donor, or an annoying diner. But no, when he starts hitting on the daughter, that's extra creepy.
So basically this guy comes over to hit on Lorelai. She's there, she's getting ready to meet Rory, and he, like, tries to sit at her table and says he's basically passing through, kind of hinting that he wants to, like, bone her before he leaves town. And she tells him that she's waiting for somebody and eventually gives him the hint, because she won't give her name to him, that she doesn't want his company, and he fucks off. And then Rory comes in to meet her, and he comes back to try to hit on her, while Lorelai goes to the counter to get Rory a coffee.
Now, the one thing I will say, I don't know about back then, because I imagine it would probably be the same. I feel like creepy dudes that are that level of creepy, finding out, like, the daughter was 16 would not have, like, fazed them like that.
The only reason it fazed him is because he could tell that Lorelai would have done something about it if he had moved on further to hit on her. That's the only reason he had the, ooh, never mind, goodbye reaction that he had. It didn't help that Rory's response to him is, are you my new daddy?
Yeah.
Which kind of weirded him out a little bit.
Yeah, and then I think later on, after they have their little talk, and we find out, like, that she's trying to get in a private school and all that, they cut to Rory walking with her, what I assume is supposed to be her best friend.
Yes, a Korean girl named Lane, and we get a lot of Asian stereotyping in the few scenes we have with this girl.
My favorite, though, is her saying, well, you listen to rock music. Yeah, how am I supposed to explain Eminem to my mom? And I was like, Eminem at that time was not, like, I don't consider him rock music. He's rap. So.
But then the stereotyping starts with basically Lane's mom sets Lane up on a date for this, like, hayride thing the public school they go to is doing. And she's supposed to meet him for, like, a dinner before that. And there's other, like, little stereotyping things in there, too. And I'm just like, why? This is already aging very poorly.
And then we see Rory enter the school where Dean, which is his name, who is played by Jared of Supernatural fame, who plays the character of Sam, is watching her. And I told...
So she runs into him in the hallway when she...
Well, no, this is before, because she walked by him on the steps.
Oh, yeah, she did. I forgot. That's right, because I'm like, isn't that Sam?
Yes.
And I'm going to keep calling him Sam Dean. His name is Dean, but I call him Sam Dean.
But I told Elsa, I was like, my theory going forward for this show right now is that this is the story of one of the times Sam from Supernatural ran away from Dean and his dad, and he's just going by his brother's name because he looks up to him.
Right, and he wants to honor his memory, but he probably took a different last name. Yeah, so, I'm calling him Dean Sam because I can't help myself.
Neither one of us have seen this show, so let us live in this conspiracy right now. We don't know what happens with this, but this is what we're going to run with.
When I found out his name was Dean, I was like, yeah, Chris, I feel your conspiracy theory now.
We're right now running with the conspiracy theory that he is, the TV theory that he is running away from his family, from the Winchesters right now, and is in hiding.
In some tiny little town called, what was it, Stars Hollow or something? I know, yes. I just read the description, I already forgot.
But then later on, we see her in class, and there's a group of mean girls putting on nail polish after the teacher told them to all work quietly on their assignments.
Basically, the teacher's like, if you have already read the reading assignment, you can work on your essays. If not, all y'all should be reading whatever classic novel it was. And Rory's, like, obsessed with classic novels because she's not like other girls. So yeah. She, of course, already did the reading.
And they start putting on nail polish, in which case I was like, wouldn't that also smell really bad? Like,
Nail polish has a scent, and some nail polishes are scented.
Yeah, like...
But also, it would stay wet for a little bit. Like, I would never paint my nails while I'm doing work, unless I'm, like, typing. Typing, I could do that, but, like, walking around during school, I don't think I could do that. And if I'm a teacher, yeah, I would smell that. The teacher just must not care, because it's public school, and public school's not as good as private school, I think is the vibe we were supposed to get from that. Yeah.
But then also...
I went to public school, so I don't agree with that.
I also went to public school. But also, we got the teacher telling everybody to work on assignments and stuff like that. So, when they see her writing, their thought isn't she's working on homework. They're like, ooh, is she writing a love letter?
It was really cringe.
And one of the girls bends up and goes, no, she's working on the assignment.
Like she's such a loser or something. Because she's not like other girls. Like, no other student uses school time to do homework so they don't have to do it at home. That's so weird and unheard of and not like other girls.
Then after that scene, we have her going with Lane to Lane's mom's home, which is also their shop.
It's an Asian antique shop.
But it's a really disorganized, like, I've been to an antique store and things like that. This had, like, hoarder vibes.
It was like a hoarder vibe slash maze situation. And they basically did a whole Marco Polo thing about trying to find where the mom is and then trying to find where the dad is at the end of the scene. And Lane's mom doesn't like the school, the public school, and she doesn't like Rory because she assumes that there are going to be bad influences on Lane and take Lane out of the traditional, like, conservatism of Asian culture. AKA, we stereotype that. And it was super cringe. And Rory made some really cringe joke or something. I don't remember what it was. I think the mom had asked, no one got pregnant, dropped out yet. And Rory said, not that I know of yet. Which was not something that she should have said to Lane's mom. Because Lane has these negative opinions and stereotypes of her own that she feels towards the people that Lane goes to school with.
And then the next scene, once that scene is over, is Lorelai going into the kitchen, where we meet her BFF, the lady in the kitchen, who is a...
Suki!
Who is a walking food and safety, like, violation.
She, like, breaks stuff. She set the stovetop on fire at one point. She grabs and touches all the food without washing her hands. Like, these are just general things I've noticed, not particularly in this scene. This scene, I think she had broken a whole bunch of stuff and made a mess on the floor and, like, hurt herself. When we meet her.
Is throwing things where things are already at, so it's causing stuff to crash over. I realize it's supposed to probably be like, oh, this is so funny, slapstick.
She's so quirky and clumsy.
But nobody...
But we can't fire her because she's our best friend.
Nobody would work in a kitchen that was like that. You just wouldn't.
Yeah, and she's also Lorelai's best friend, so she doesn't have the heart to, like, notice these things and fire her because she is, like, the owner of the town's motel. But, and it's just a disaster, and she really should fire her. In this scene, we also meet Misha, right? It was Misha or Michelle or something.
Misha's a little later.
No, we met him first. Because when she comes into the hotel to check in for the day, Michelle's trying to figure out some stuff for the wedding party they're hosting.
Oh, we might have, yeah.
We met him first.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, ooh, he's petty. I like him. And that's when we also met the harp player, because she was coming in to start working there, and she was really rude to the guests, and Lorelai's like, hey, could you be nice to the guests? And she's like, do you want a harp player, or do you want me to be nice to your guests? And then we meet Suki, who is a disaster.
Yeah.
And the more we watch this, like, through all three episodes, I was like, please, for the love of fuck, fire this girl. She makes me uncomfortable every time I see her in the kitchen. Like, I'm clumsy as shit, too. But I'm not a walking safety hazard in my kitchen or in any kitchen. I also don't work in a kitchen because my anxiety would make me a clusterfuck in a kitchen.
And then also in that kitchen, or at some point during this turn of events, we got the really gross sex joke with the daughter of...
Oh, yeah, because she was talking about... Oh, because Lorelai had gotten the acceptance letter for Rory for Clifton? Chipton. Mm-hmm. The private school.
Yep.
And she made the joke.
She said, I'm happy, but I'm not that happy. Implying that, like...
Well, she made the joke, and she was talking to Suki about how she said she would sleep with the headmaster. And then when Rory comes in from school, and she finds out she got the acceptance, Rory asked her, so, Mom, you didn't sleep with the headmaster, right? And she's like, no, I was just kidding about that. Yeah. Implying that she jokes with her daughter about her sex life. Like, or makes sex jokes, wow, guys, with her daughter.
Yeah.
She's a little too friendly with her daughter than she is motherly.
Yeah.
That kind of set the scene for us understanding that she's more like her friend. And we do see that Rory is definitely the more level-headed one, and I feel a little more adult-like than Rory. And I know they're kind of giving us the impression because Rory had, or Lorelai had Rory at 16, which is how old Rory is now. So she didn't get to have a childhood is kind of what this is supposed to imply. But I could never, even if I was 16 and I had a child, I could never do that. I could never joke about sex with my daughter.
It was weird.
It's very weird. There's a lot of things I'm cringing at in their relationship from the perspective of someone old enough to be a mother.
And I also have the note of Misha is still the best, and the fact that he told Lorelai that he wasn't answering the phones because people were being extra annoying today.
Oh, I think he said extra stupid. Or annoying and stupid or something. Yeah. And I'm like, Misha's the best character. Misha's the only character I actually like. Misha and a character we're going to meet later. And I'll let you know who it is when we get there.
But then later on, we get the...
I have a note here that says J'aime Misha, because Misha is French. So, je parle un peu de français.
But later on, we also get the mom not being aware of the tuition cost of the private school. Like, that does...
Well, it's not that she wasn't aware. She wasn't aware she had to pay it all up front for, like, the first, like, semester or something.
I feel like you would know that, though. I just do.
Well, we get the impression that Lorelai is a little more scatterbrained and not as responsible as Rory. And I think that was one of those things that was meant to illustrate that and also give us the plot device of Lorelai having to ask her rich parents to help her.
Yeah.
That was the segue to that.
Yeah, and then we have her going to her, Lorelai going to her family because she doesn't have the money to pay the tuition, to beg her mom and dad for money to pay for Rory's tuition.
The problem with this is that Lorelai is estranged from her parents because there was a rift that formed between them when she got pregnant with Rory at age 16. She basically cut herself off from her family to do things on her own. It's not ever implied so far that they cut her off. It's implied that Lorelai made the choice to leave on her own.
Yeah.
So she's estranged from her family, so she comes to see them after a while, and it surprises her mom. And then she ends up having the discussion where... Because when the dad comes into the room, he's like, oh, she wants money. And she's like, well, I did come to ask for help because my daughter got into Chipton. And I need the help paying the tuition up front, and I'll pay you back.
No, it was Chilton. That's the name.
Whatever it is. The rich kid's school. And Lorelai's mom, instead of wanting money in return, convinces Lorelai, or propositions Lorelai, to have dinner every Friday with them and phone calls every week with life updates. And then she gives her until that week Friday to think about it, because if she disagrees to this arrangement of spending time with the family, then there's going to be no money for Chilton, right? Yes. Did I get it right this time?
Chilton. But yeah, like, also we don't really have the context when that scene plays out of, we know there's a rift, but we don't know what caused the rift.
Yeah.
We just know, like, the mom comes off in that scene, because we had no context of anything, is being reasonable in the sense of saying, can you give me dinner a week and a phone call?
Yeah, and we're like, oh, wow, that's just so awful if that was the only ask. Like, wow, so bad of your rich parents. My initial thought was there was going to be more of a huge toxic demand, and then it wound up being that, and I was like, oh, that seems okay. I should have known there was a little more to it than that. But, yeah, we didn't have that context just yet.
Sorry if you're hearing banging in the background. That is one of our cats making noise.
Yeah, they like to play in the kitchen cupboard.
So after that scene, we then have Rory, who found out she's going to Chilton, so she's packing up all her school belongings out of her locker and talking to her friend Lane and how she's going to leave and all that stuff.
And she's going to miss her and all that fun stuff.
And Lane kind of, like, runs off to go to class, but then Rory bumps into Dean and it causes her to drop her box and books go everywhere. And then she
little gets... Little Dean Sam.
We get all flustered.
Because Dean Sam is cute.
And, yeah, and so within this... he helps her, like, pick up stuff, and he's like, I'm new to town. I'm the new boy. Further proof that he could be Sam Winchester. I know the show came out before Supernatural, but...
But maybe there was a collaboration in the brewing in the background this whole time.
I'm just saying TV theory right now. This is Sam before, like, Sammy... Like, we I know Supernatural doesn't exist. We don't know. Like, it could be.
I mean, it could be an idea in the director's room or something or whatever. We don't know. Maybe the writer of Gilmore Girls and the writer of Supernatural are Frey-Freys. We don't know. In this scene when they introduce each other, so he introduces himself as Dean, and this is where we get the lovely line of, her name is Rory. It's actually Lorelai. I'm named after my mom because if guys can do it, girls should be able to do it too, and the feminism just kind of took over. Yeah. And I was like, wow, okay, so feminist, even though nothing I've seen in the show is at all feminist at all so far with these two girls.
And then later on...
And it doesn't have to be, just to say, but it's not.
He then tells her that he's, like, looking for a job, and she's like, well, you should go talk to the dance instructor of the town. She knows everything.
And they end up, like, walking around the town, because he basically asked her what she's doing, and he was kind of trying to get to know her and, like, feel her out, because he also kind of has a thing for her right now. They have this instant attraction.
And we got the great line of, well, I've been watching you.
Oh, yeah, because he said Moby Dick is a good book, because she's reading Moby Dick, and she was agreeing, and then she was like, wait, how do you know that? Well, I see you on... I've been watching you. I see you in front of the school, after school, like, reading. You're such a ferocious reader. Like, there was this whole thing where someone, like, got into a fight and got injured, and, like, the ambulance was there, and you just kept reading.
You'd be very easy to abduct because you do not pay attention to your surroundings when your nose is in a book.
But it's quirky and it makes you not like other girls.
But also, in hearing that this guy has just randomly been watching her around town...
Well, not around town, just at school.
But just at school. Like,
it's still kind of... It comes off creepy when he says, I'm watching you, instead of... He did eventually say, I noticed you, after he said, I'm watching you, but... I would be creeped out by that if you're like, yeah, so I've been watching you. Right. I noticed you after work just sitting in the parking lot reading your book and waiting for your ride.
Yeah, but her reaction was me? You're watching me? Unique, not like other girls, me?
Who, oh. Me? Flutters her eyelashes. Did I mention that this place makes really good cake? Because she already mentioned it in that scene, yeah. But she got flustered and didn't know what else to say because it was so sweet, so charming, and... She's not like other girls, and she doesn't fit in, and she's so surprised a cute boy noticed her.
This all plays into the later scene where she's talking to her mom and has an upshift, like a complete upturning of her, like, plans and all that. And it's like, I'm not going to Chilton anymore. I want to stay in public school.
But you're me!
Yeah,
and then we got the you're me line, because basically when... Back in the scene where the letter came in and we're talking to Suki before Rory shows up, she basically explains that Rory's going to get into the school and then go to Harvard and blah, 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 which is all the stuff that Lorelai's parents wanted for her, and now she's projecting it onto Rory.
Yeah.
So that's what this fight turns into, because Rory kind of called her out for that. And then goes up to her room to, like, pout.
Yeah, and then later on, we do end up at the dinner scene. Because we had the little pouting match and all that. And mom comparing herself to the daughter, which...
That's kind of a theme in these last few episodes, is there's definitely a comparison. And the more we see Grandpa and Grandma, the more we see that comparison in Lorelai's head.
Yeah, I also have a note on here that this whole show is why you need to be a parent and not a BFF.
Yeah, and I have a comment here as far as, like... When we go to these dinners and we notice these things, I mentioned that Rory is a replacement for Lorelai to her grandparents, and that's what's making Lorelai act petty, but also Lorelai, having had her child so young, she's acting out because she feels like she didn't get to have her childhood, and also she lost her parents because of it. But she's kind of taking it out on her daughter without maybe necessarily meaning to, and everyone's putting aspirations onto Rory that aren't Rory's own aspirations. We actually find out what Rory's aspirations are here in a little bit.
One of the other things is, after this scene, we do end up with them going to that first family dinner. And her father seems shocked at Rory's height, like, to where he's like, you're tall.
You're so tall. Like, how tall are you? You're so tall.
But, well, I know it's meant to be, like, kind of silly, but it's also meant to display, like, that they don't see them that often. So it's like a shock.
Well, when Lorelai mentioned to Rory that they were going to go to dinner at Grandpa and Grandma's, she's like, wait, what holiday's in September? Why are we going over there? It's not a holiday.
Yeah.
So they only ever see them on certain holidays sometimes, not even all the time. is kind of the vibe I got there between Rory's comment and then the you're so tall. Oh my God, you're so tall. How tall are you?
And then, I don't know if you noticed this, when we do actually cut to the dining room scene where they're all sitting. I made note of this. The mom is furthest away from both Rory and the dad and Lorelai.
Like, yeah.
They're sitting on one end, there's the centerpiece, then there's space, then there's mom.
The grandma?
Yeah.
The grandma's kind of like an island unto herself. And then the grandpa's at the end of the table, and then there's like the side of the table that kind of intersects with that, and then there's Rory and then Lorelai at the other end.
But you could also look at that and be like, oh, like...
You can see the separation.
The... Not just the separation, I would say, between, like, the family, but I would also say that distance is probably representative of both Emily, who is the grandmother, and her father.
Oh, her husband?
Yeah, in their relationship.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of more apparent when we get later into the episodes where there's certain bonding going on that we will discuss here in a little bit between two characters.
Because that is one thing you can use for... Now, I don't know. I made some notes about later episodes as to where people were sitting. And I don't know if they're meaning to do this. But that is one of the ways you can convey, like, distance without telling people.
It makes sense because I will sit physically closer to people I feel connected with as opposed to people I feel acquainted with, where I will sit at a further distance because I don't have that comfortability and I don't necessarily feel the want, need, or even the safety to be as close. I want to be able to get up and leave, so I have this little bit of distance here, whereas with you, I will sit right next to you, because I'm not trying to have the opportunity to be able to get up and leave before you can stop me.
Yeah, and with, during this dinner scene, we have Rory basically talking about, like, they're asking her how excited she is to go to Chilton, and, like, then the mom says something, the grandmother says something snide, which makes Lorelai take the grandmother into the kitchen, and they have at it, and it's just Rory and the grandpa sitting there, and they can hear them.
And they're feeling awkward because of the tension between Lorelai and the mother, and they're shouting, and I don't remember exactly what they're all fighting about, but it comes down to, again, a question of Lorelai's pride versus the help that the mother, well, the grandma and the grandpa can provide as far as financial help to not just the school situation, but in general, because I think the mom is upset that Lorelai never comes to them for help for anything.
Yeah.
And then basically she said, well, you have your pride and I have my dinners now, about the current situation, and we both got what we wanted. And Lorelai overhears all of this, and Grandpa falls asleep.
Yeah, at some point.
I think he just gets so comfortable that he shuts down, and that's why he falls asleep. Like, seeing later, like, the situation where it seems like there is a rift between him and his wife, it now makes sense why he shut down and went to sleep. I think he just didn't know what to do, so he just internalized and shut down, and then his body shut down with him. At first, I thought that was kind of weird and funny and meant to be comedic, but now I think I understand what it was meant to represent.
But, yeah, and then that episode essentially ends with them leaving and Rory telling Lorelai, I will go to Chilton. Like, basically realizing, like, I did not realize, like, that you went and begged Grandma and Grandpa for money and that Grandma would be such a bitch to you.
Yeah, and also, we forgot to mention the scene where Rory doesn't want to go to Chilton, that Lorelai does figure out it's about a boy.
Yes.
And then this episode ends with Lorelai trying to pry Rory about the boy that she has a crush on, about Sam Dean.
Dean Sam. Well, he hunts monsters.
He hunts monsters, and he's on the run from his family.
He's trying to hide out from his family that want him to hunt monsters. He wants a normal life.
Much like Lorelai wants a normal life instead of a Richie Rich life.
But that leads us into episode 2, which actually has a title. It's titled The Lorelai's First Day at Chilton.
Because both of their names are Lorelai. Because feminism. I'm never going to forget that, okay? I'm going to harp on that forever.
The mom oversleeps. Lorelai, she oversleeps. And thus does not have time to get ready. And I saw a mile marker that said, like, wherever they were going was, like, 14 miles away at some point.
Basically, they live in a small town, but this prep school is in, like, a city, and it's the city that the grandparents live in.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a drive or a really long bus ride.
But, yeah, Mom ends up getting up late and then looks a mess by pulling on a t-shirt and cut-off jeans.
Like, short cut-off jeans. And it's not even, like, a skanky t-shirt. It's, like, a scoop-neck t-shirt, but not, like, a deep scoop to where you can see her cleavage. It's just a pink scoop-neck, circle-neck t-shirt. I didn't really think her outfit was that bad. And cowboy boots, because she makes a joke or deprecates herself on saying, I went looking like a cowgirl or something.
How would the headmaster at Spy Family react?
It's not very elegant!
Yes. That is how...
You lack elegance!
That is how most everybody reacted to her.
Except for one of the dads.
One of the dads who was like, hey, what you got going on? I can be a love interest.
And this is second love interest for her, because guy at the diner also slowly becomes obvious to be a love interest.
Yeah, Luke.
Luke is love interest number one. Rich guy dad is love interest number two for Lorelai.
School daddy, as we'll call him.
School daddy? Scatty?
In a later episode, she's like, ooh, look at his ass.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
But, again, on dropping her off, she makes another sex joke with Rory, where she's like, call me if you need any dirty cheers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She did say that. And Rory convinced her to go into the school with her to meet the headmaster. So, sexy daddy dude basically tells them how to get to the building that the headmaster's in, and then hits on Lorelai, and then they go their separate ways.
And then as Lorelai and Rory are entering the school, we see a group of girls walk by them, and they all stare at her and give her stink eye.
So, of course.
And give her the mean girl stare, because, you know, she's the new girl and not like other girls.
Right. She's a threat to the main mean girl, Paris's supremacy.
Yes. And then as they go into the head of admissions and all that, its office, the grandma Emily is in there, Lorelai's mom, chumming it up with the head of admissions.
Because wouldn't you know it, the headmaster golfs with grandpa, and the headmaster's wife is friends with grandma.
So it's very clear that she pulled headstrings pulled.
Yeah, because there was suddenly an opening for Lorelai. Well, Rory. Lorelai Jr., if you will.
Because even that guy is like, we don't usually accept students mid-semester.
Right, but special circumstances, a.k.a. Emily.
But after they shame Lorelai for looking like a peasant.
Because basically she wore a long trench coat to cover her outfit, and then Emily shames her for being rude for not taking off her coat, so she does, and they stare at her like she's dressed like a skank, and I think her outfit looked pretty normal. The shorts were like, they were short, but not like Daisy Duke short, even though they were compared to Daisy Dukes in the episode. They weren't nearly that short. And, again, a pink t-shirt with a high scoop neck.
Yeah.
And cowboy boots that, to me, didn't even really look like cowboy boots. I thought they were just brown ankle boots, personally. And I'm a boot girl, so I don't know. But, I guess. Take that for what you will.
But yeah, like, they basically shame her for dressing like that.
And they basically tell her to go fuck herself. And then, well, they don't say that, but they dismiss her.
Then Mom and Grandma Emily go out and they have a chat. And while that's going on, the head of administration talks to Rory. And basically is like, you may think you're not like other girls.
You may think you're smart.
Other girl, but you are not special.
So he basically asks Rory what her intentions are and what she wants to do. And Rory says that she wants to travel and she wants to be a journalist. And he's like, oh, well, like the girls from The View or like Oprah. And she's like, no, like some other journalist whose name I don't remember and I didn't recognize. And she's like, I want to travel, and maybe I'll do journalism by writing books or do things other ways, but I want to experience the world. And the headmaster clearly looks down on this and assumes that she's going to be a failure and puts pressure on her and guilt trips her to not embarrass her grandparents, because while he is friends with Grandpa, he does not have high expectations for her academics because their academic, like, scale is different than the academic scale of the school she went to publicly. So he doesn't think she'll be able to catch up with the schoolwork. So he basically kind of tells her, no offense, but I'm not sure if you'll actually hack it here. And also, your dreams are bullshit.
Yeah.
And that was the one note I made for this episode, because that really upset me.
Yeah, no, he was kind of a dick and had a Colonel Sanders, like, goatee going on there.
He did look kind of like Mr. Monopoly and Colonel Sanders had a baby.
Yeah, like if they were mushed together.
Yeah. I was like, okay, then. Shut up. What, wasn't his name Harlan?
I don't remember, honestly. Because
Harlan is Colonel Sanders' name. Yeah. It's Harlan Sanders. I think his name was Harlan. But I didn't write it down, but I should have.
He eventually takes her to the admissions office. He tells her to go down to the admissions office, where she turns in her file.
And then the lady at the desk was like, do you have any questions? Good. If you do, you can schedule a meeting with your guidance counselor. And then she makes what's supposed to be, I think, a joke of, he deals with everything but bulimia and teenage pregnancy. And I think that was meant to be funny. And as someone who had a friend in high school who was a teen who was pregnant, and as someone who also struggles with an eating disorder myself, I did not find that funny. I wouldn't have found that funny anyway, but given that these are things that hit home for me, I do not find any of that funny.
But
that aged terribly.
Apparently, the teenagers that go to the school work in the office, because she just kind of threw a file at one of them.
Yeah, I think they have a friend that works in the office, probably for like an internship credit or something.
Yeah, Paris gets handed off Rory's file, and they're
ducking outside the window,
hiding in the bushes. And one of the mean girls is upset because something like keeps biting her neck, like a bug or something. And
then the one's like, "Is she gonna try out for the school paper? She also did journalism. Is she gonna try out for the school paper?" And meanwhile, Paris is like, "Oh, she's good at academics, but not as good as me, even though she feels threatened. And I hope she doesn't try out for the school paper, but I don't know. But that's, like, the thing I'm going to be editor of next year."
The thing I wrote down that they, like, just kind of drop as, like, supposed to be insulting, that just seemed ridiculous and stupid, is when they're like, "Well, where's she from?" And they name drop the town, and she's like,
Oh, Dixie
Chick. Where's that? Well, you just have to go south and turn left when you see the hay bales, and you'll run into it. Oh, so she's a Dixie chick? And it's like, she does not live that far from them.
Also, hi. I grew up on a farm north of my little hometown. That didn't make me stupid. Me not applying myself is what made me stupid.
But,
and I was still smart, thank you.
But would you say, having driven south into Kansas City, would you refer to people in the Midwest that are, like, a state under you as being, like, Southerners?
No, I would say maybe they're from the south part of town, but I wouldn't say someone from South Kansas City is a Southerner, because they're still Midwesterners.
Or let's say, like, you were in your small town in a city or anything like that that is directly under you, or another town.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a town south of Madison, so if someone from Madison was like, "Oh, where's she from? Where's Randolph?"
Yeah.
I mean, you would see farms, and that's where you'd find me, but I'm not, like, I think they meant Dixie Chick, like, oh, she's, like, a hick girl kind of thing. It's like, not all girls who are from small towns near farming are hicks. Not everyone from a small town is a hick, period.
To me, it was the phrasing of saying, oh, she's from the south. She's, like, a Dixie Chick.
Well, I think they meant to say she's a hick. They meant to say she's a hick.
I get that, but it was just,
I think they meant Dixie Chick as in, like, a farm hick.
If anything, it just made me go, well, that's, like, stupid. She's, like, what, 30 minutes away?
Yeah, something like, I think it was like 14 miles away on the sign. That was just weird.
It felt like a dumb insult.
I mean, yes. Like, oh, she's a dumb small town girl is what I think they were trying to get, even though Paris is going through her record and seeing, like, she has a 4.0 grade average and she's actually really smart for where she comes from.
I mean,
from.
If you were going to make an insult of her being a hick, you could have just been like, oh, she's country, like, or something
and
like that.
And even still, it's like, hi, country girl here. You can be smart and still be from the country. Thank you.
But after that, we go to the classroom setting where mean girls are mean-girling her. And she feels overwhelmed because she's not able to shout out the answers like Paris does.
Because we see a scene, well, we didn't see a scene where she was doing that in another classroom, but we get the impression she would be the girl doing that.
Yes.
So she was like, damn, Paris is doing my thing. But they were, it went to the academic coursework being ahead again, huh?
And then, yeah, and then, like, close to the end of class, we get introduced to one of Rory, what's clearly going to be one of her love interests, but,
We only see him this one time in these three episodes.
We get introduced to Tristan.
God damn it.
Tristan, so who creepy. I think is supposed to give us bad boy vibes, but is...
He's just a creep.
Just a creep? Like...
Like, I hope, like, Sam Dean beats him up.
Comes in and, like, sits down in the back of the class and, like, pats one of his, like, buds on the shoulder and's like, hey, who's that? And the guy goes, new girl. And then he's like, all right. And starts, like, sucking on his pin. I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, I'm sure you want her to suck your dick, but it looks like you want to suck new your
girl,
dick.
New girl. Oh, man.
Let me suck myself off to that.
I can't stop imagining putting a dick in my mouth.
That did not give the I want her to suck my dick image you were trying to give us with that. That's women writing men right there. We talk about men writing women a lot. This was a women writing men scenario. For sure.
And then we have another scene of Rory walking by the new girls and then Paris confronting her and, like, yelling at her about not pursuing journalism.
Like, I'm Paris, and this is my domain, and I can make your life a living hell. Also, are you going to try out for the whatever the fuck their school paper is called? Because I'm going to be editor next year, and I run that shit, so don't even bother.
Yep, and then we cut back to Lorelai, who's in the kitchen, and...
The kitchen of her hotel that she owns.
And Misha coming in to tell them that there is a phone call for them and makes the snide remark of, do I look like a dog to you? Because if I am, I expect a cookie and a raise.
I was like, wah oh see, Misha, I'm wah oh see. And I'm not even getting paid to watch this, I'm wah oh see.
And then Lorelai goes out and, like, takes a phone call. And, like, it turns out it's, like, if I remember right, it's her mother to scold her again for how she was dressed or something like that.
It was that, and she was going to buy a whole bunch of uniform pieces for Rory, which offended Lorelai.
And a car and all this other
stuff. Oh, yeah, she bought
stuff.
Her parking spot. She wasn't buying the clothes yet. I think she talked about the clothes in a different phone call later. Yeah. They kind of get mixed up, because basically it's Grandma wants to buy a whole bunch of stuff for Rory, because Rory is now the replacement for what she wanted Lorelai to be. Yeah. It's basically the general thread I'm getting with that relationship.
But then while Lorelai walks by him, we have the great scene of Misha being asked by the group of old ladies, where's a good place to find antiques? And he looks at them and says, I don't know, your homes?
Misha's my favorite. Misha just makes bitchy and catty comments. I'm like, yes, we.
And then, we don't have context for this yet. We will get to there and discuss it. But Tristan is still being creepy and keeps calling Rory Mary.
Oh, yeah. We flipped to a scene where Lorelai is in the hall. Or not Lorelai. Yeah. Rory is in the hallway. Yeah. It's confusing because they're both Lorelai.
Yeah, Rory is in the hallway. And Tristan basically corners him and is like, hey, Mary, you want to go on a study date with me?
And oh, because the teacher in the class from the last scene with her gave her a big binder and told her to get notes from her, like, classmates, and she can take a makeup test for the test that they're taking next week.
Yeah, and it's...
So he's offering his notes because he heard the teacher say that to her.
But he's still being, like, creepy, and it's like, we could do some studying together.
And he's, like, all up in her grill, like, all up on her, and she's, like, backed into a wall, all uncomfortable. But she's picking up the vibe of what he's saying and what he's meaning. The closer he gets to her, and the more he, like, kind of shimmies, like, he wants to start feeling her up. And he keeps, like, sizing her up, like, looking her up and down.
And we have Rory finding her locker. It's jammed. Oh, no.
She's like...
Awful first day for
the
new
girl. Pulling super hard on it.
And then she finally gets it yanked open, but flies back and slams into Paris and her diorama of a castle.
And shatters it completely. Yeah. It's like a diorama presentation for a history class, which is, coincidentally, her next class.
But nobody else had dioramas in there, so...
No, just her. That's the overachiever, too.
Was it just something they were doing, like... I mean, it might be from overachieving, but... Is it just something to where each class they had to fill that whole, like, hour?
Or it could be, like... In some of my classes in high school, like, with the well, not even high school, middle school, really. We do book reports, like oral book reports, and we each have set days to present. It might have been her day to present.
Yeah.
And then the next day someone else was going to present.
There's usually like two or three on those days.
That's true. That's true.
So it was weird that she was the only one with a diorama.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, turns out their next class is history, and when she walks into the room, the mean girls are like, are you fucking kidding me about her being in their class after she just smashed Paris's diorama on accident?
Yeah. We also find out that Tristan is also in her history class, and again, we will get to the context of him calling her Mary, but we did not know this at first.
We thought he was just getting her name wrong because her name is Rory, and he was just being disrespectful.
I was just like, does Tristan have the memory of a goldfish? Like, fuck is going on here?
Is that his way of showing he doesn't respect her and putting her down and belittling her? Because that's what I thought it was. Yeah. Like, he was belittling her by saying, I care so little about your feelings, I'm going to get your name wrong.
When we get to that conversation, technically he was belittling her and being gross.
Oh, absolutely. But in a different way than I thought.
And then Rory offered, like, upon hearing that Paris will get an incomplete on her assignment, says that she broke the assignment, and, like, it's not Paris's fault.
Okay, so basically, we're kind of getting... We need to explain this a little bit better.
Yeah.
So basically, the teacher of the history class is explaining that they have presentations and that it is Paris's day to go, and Paris stands up, and she says that she doesn't have anything, and she's sorry. And the teacher's like, well, did you have enough time to complete this? And she says yes. And then she's like, well, then you're going to take an incomplete for this assignment. Do you understand? And she says, yes. And then Rory stands up to explain what she did. And then there's kind of a fight because the teacher gives them an opportunity to work together to get the assignment done so Paris doesn't get an incomplete. And then there's a back and forth of, I'll help you, no, fuck off. And then the teacher's like, fine, if you want to do it yourself, you have until tomorrow. Or no, you have 2 days to do this or you get an incomplete.
No, it was tomorrow.
Okay.
Because, you know, Chilton is hard on their students here.
You're right. We did get a whole speech about that. And then we were like, fine, fine. And that was basically that.
Yeah.
And also, Rory has to explain that Rory is short for Lorelai to this teacher. Because she's like, well, who are you? And she stands up. She's like, I'm Rory Gilmore. And she's like, I don't have a Rory. I have a Lorelai. She's like, that's me. And then she's like, okay. I can't remember. She's like, I'm Lorelai, but I go by Rory. And teacher's like, which do you prefer? She's like, it's whatever, because she's trying to help Paris. And then the teacher makes her pick one. She's like, Rory. And then she gets this, you know, bitchy introduction to the class after the whole, I don't want your help, I'll help you thing.
Everybody says hi, Rory, except for Tristan, who says, like, hi, Mary.
Ugh, he's such a creep. Like, he continues to, like, have creepy body language and speak in a creepy tone and, like, eye bang her, basically.
But then the classroom scene ends with Rory taking the power from the bitchy girl by being bitchy back and answering two questions before Paris could answer them.
Yeah. So now we have an academic rivalry of a bitchy nature between these two, apparently.
Paris being like, don't do that again.
Like, I can ruin you. This is my domain.
And then it cuts over to Lorelai and her having a phone call, and that's with the grandmother, because the grandmother had sent out a DSL installation for internet to the home.
Remember, guys, this started in 2006.
Yes.
This was probably filmed in 2005 and aired in 2006.
But she decides she actually needs to set boundaries with her mother, finally. And has that conversation on the phone.
Yeah, she calls her mom and she's like... No, her mom called her to... This is the uniform conversation. Her mom calls her to tell her about the uniforms. And she's like, no, I'm going to buy my own daughter's uniforms because I'm her mother, not you. Also, I told your DSL guys to fuck off.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was a whole thing. And it was like, oh, finally, she set some boundaries there. Good for her. Learning to be an adult.
She also said no on the car and the parking spot and any of that. I'm her mother. So, anything she needs, I will buy it for her, not you.
And then Rory and her have a meeting at the diner at Luke's, and that's where we learn the Mary thing.
Oh, yeah, because the guy kept calling me Mary, Mom. I don't understand.
And she goes, and Lorelai laughs and's like, oh, they're still doing that? Ha ha ha. And it's like, no, that's super fucking gross. Like, not funny at all.
That is kind of creepy that she laughed at that. She's like, why, Mom? What does it mean? They're comparing you to the Virgin Mary. Yeah,
Mary is what they call somebody they think looks virginal. And then she says, well, what if they thought I was a slut?
They would have tacked a Magdalene at the end of it.
So, it's religious slut shaming.
Which Rory said was so clever sarcastically. Because she's the sarcastic and witty one. And Lorelai's the flighty one.
But that was the ha-ha moment we kind of end on.
Ugh, it's just so cringe.
And then we're going to enter episode 3, which is titled Kill Me Now. And I wrote in my notes, yes, please. I don't want to watch more of this.
But we committed to 7 seasons of this.
Yeah, we're going to make it through all of this, so... But maybe that was just the writer who was actually in the work on this show.
She was just like, kill me now.
Sending a message, kill me now, please.
I regret agreeing to write this show, but I will write you 7 seasons nonetheless.
I'm locked in a writer's room writing this really bland stuff.
I mean, our generation loves this show. Girls my age rewatch this show. On Netflix, it's one of the most rewatched, re-binge shows. And it's binged so much, it's also on Hulu. It's on multiple streaming services.
It's ridiculous. And
our generation uses this as a comfort rewatch show.
Right now, I don't see the comfort, but...
I don't either.
That's just me. Maybe it gets better. I don't know.
We're only 3 episodes deep right now, so...
But in this, they open at the dinner scene. And we
weekly dinner.
Yes. And we find out that great-grandma was also named Lorelai.
Lorelai the First.
But she, among the richy riches like Emily, was not like other girls, because she was a bit of a party animal.
Also, she was great at, like, riding horses.
Yeah, riding...
And, like, equestrian sports.
Riding horses and equestrian stuff, but also liked to throw masquerade balls, in which, when Grandpa revealed that, Emily, the grandmother, seemed to cut him off from talking about that.
She also made a lot of, like, bitchy faces. Like, she definitely... thinks herself above Lorelai the First's behavior because it was not very richy rich snobby snob like.
Yeah, I definitely get the feeling that Grandma Emily, not a fan of her mother-in-law.
I think Grandma Emily cares a lot more about appearances than pretty much everyone else in this family, which I kind of get that vibe as we go through this and we get to know Grandpa better, because Grandpa's the other character I kind of glommed onto. And this episode is why I started glomming onto that character.
But I'm also going to bring up the table setting on this and where people were sitting, which also plays into this episode, and I'll be curious to see, like, in the next episode where they're sitting, like, if this dynamic changes. Because in this scene, both Rory and Lorelai were sitting closer to Emily, and Grandpa was kind of off in the distance of the table.
He was kind of all the way to the other side, more or less.
Because
lengthwise, Grandpa is at the end of the length end of the table, and then everyone else is on the other side of the table, or the other side. Like, he's at the head of the table.
And
everyone else is kind
of
sitting wherever, with him being the old-fashioned head of the table.
And them having that distance, like, between them.
You can see there's, like, a rift here.
And I will say, like, later on, like, there is another eating scene where, because the main plot of this episode is him essentially being forced to hang out with his granddaughter.
Yeah, it's a Rory Grandpa episode.
They're sitting right next to each other.
Yeah, this episode is basically them bonding.
But I think that was probably done, like, to symbolize that disparity there.
Yeah.
He is not close to his granddaughter, and he is not close to his actual daughter.
Or his wife. There's a lot of definitely nitpickiness there, because when he's getting ready to do the thing with Rory that we're going to talk about, like, Emily's really nitpicky to him, and he's just kind of giving as shorthanded answers as he can, because he feels like she's picking at him. And he's just going through the motions to make her happy.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a rift there and a control issue there.
And Lorelai and Grandma Emily have a argument because it is brought up that Rory needs to join a team sport. And Grandma Emily is like, well, why don't you learn golfing? To basically force Grandpa to take her to learn golfing because she wants Rory to join the club so she can be like, my granddaughter is with me at the club.
But also, Lorelai had a set of golf clubs from her childhood because she tried to do the same thing with Lorelai and she didn't take to it when she was younger.
Yeah.
So now she's trying to push that onto Rory, who I again think is the stand-in in Emily's mind for what she had wanted Lorelai to be. She's trying to make Rory take that spot.
Yeah, and then, but within this, Lorelai is, like, definitive in her, like, arguments that Rory will not enjoy this. She is gonna hate it. It is gonna be the worst thing. And part of me, like, because later on when they leave the dinner, Rory is like, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think I'm gonna have fun. I'm like, oh, like, she definitely has, like, a negative view of this because of her mom.
Yeah.
Like,
I think she has certain unconscious biases towards her grandparents because her mom presents them a certain way
yeah.
because of her relationship with them. But I do think it's interesting before they leave when grandma and mom argue about this in the kitchen about, well, she won't enjoy this and grandma's insisting she will. Part of me is like, well, grandma's doing this for selfish reasons, but also grandma was right. She does end up enjoying it.
Yeah.
So did grandma actually think she would enjoy it, or was it just fully for selfish reasons, or was it a little bit of both?
I think it was a little bit of both, and I do think grandma was onto something of, like, telling Lorelai to her face of, you're just afraid she might actually like it.
Well, and she's going to enjoy doing something without you.
Yeah.
And the quiet part loud with one of us.
Yeah.
Because Lorelai is, like, glomming onto Rory to be her best friend, and she's probably subconsciously afraid that Rory's gonna leave her the same way she left her parents. Because at this point, we understand that Lorelai did choose to separate herself from her parents after her pregnancy and was not ostracized by her parents because of the pregnancy. But there's definitely some negativity there in that situation. We just don't know what the situation exactly was like at that point. We also find out that Grandpa is in charge. Grandpa is in communication with Christopher, who is the father of Rory, and he lives in California, and he's doing really well, and that there's a little bit of resentment for the fact that they didn't stay together.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the things that Lorelai and Emily argue about in the argument about the golf situation, like, when they go into the other room.
Yeah, and she even brings up that the grandpa could have gotten Christopher into insurance, and Lorelai says he didn't want to do insurance.
And we both wound up choosing our own successful lives because we didn't stay together and
yeah.
we pursued our futures instead of getting married and having kids, because the mom was like, well, when you get pregnant, you get married. And then he could have been brought into the family business and blah, blah, blah. Because there's a lot of trad values that grandma holds on to that I don't necessarily think grandpa fully subscribes to.
I don't either, like, especially given the vibe that his mom was, like, a rich party girl.
Yeah, I think grandpa is interested very much in being who you are.
Like,
but he's afraid to be who he is, and probably has been for years because of how Emily wants to keep up appearances with the other rich people.
I would say how Emily wants to keep up appearances, but also how he knows, like, rich people that are in that club and in his environment like to gossip, like we saw.
They're very fake with each other, and no one actually likes each other.
No one's real with each other, and I think he just is like, I don't
want to engage with that.
I don't like these people because I don't like how they all are.
Yeah, whereas his mom was just very sociable and, like, probably was picky about her circle. Probably had parties for everyone, but was very picky about who her friends were, I would assume. This is an assumption, based on how Grandpa acts. And we see him interacting with other people, like, in his wealth range. Because he's, like, a high-ranking manager, I think, at, like, some sort of corporation.
It's an insurance.
The insurance corporation, yeah. And it's like a global thing, because he gets to travel for work, but we'll get into that here in a minute.
And I don't know what this was in relation to, but I wrote down, Misha is still the best character.
I'm trying to remember.
It might have been in relation to him complaining that somebody was in his chair.
It was because, oh no, that was, someone in his chair was when Lorelai and Rory were still fighting about Chilton.
Yeah.
And there was a scene too, I don't know if it was in this episode or, like, one of the other episodes, where Rich Daddy shows up to try to take Lorelai on a date, and then she says, I'll think about it, and then he says, I'm gonna go to China and ask you again. And then she watches him walk away, and Misha's like, you don't do that for me.
but we, I also wrote down on here that Lorelai and Grandma Emily are like using Rory as like a pawn to like try and one up each other because they're both trying to force their ideals and their lives onto her.
Which is what the argument was about on the she'll enjoy it, no, she won't enjoy it thing.
Which is super fucked up. And then this is where I actually paused this episode and told Elsa I have a prediction that Grandpa and Rory are actually going to like spending time together.
And my addition to the prediction, because I agree with that, is that he misses his relationship with Lorelai, and him bonding with Rory is eventually going to bring him closer to Lorelai as well. That's my extension to the prediction.
And then we also find out that Lorelai at the inn that she runs, because that's what she's the general manager of this inn.
Yeah, she worked her way up from a maid, because that was part of the argument, too, about the marriage thing was, well, you could have gotten married, and Christopher could have been in the insurance business, and she's like, well, we did our own thing and chased our own dreams. She's like, you worked as a maid, and she's like, yeah, I worked my way up, and now I own the place.
Yeah, and... But with that, we learn she's hosting a twin's wedding.
Where, oh my goodness,
it's
yes.
It's two twin ladies marrying two twin dudes.
And the mom hates these twins. She spoiled them rotten, and now she resents her twins for the fact that she spoiled them rotten. Yep. And they act like brats.
At one point, I was like, this is fucked up. Because she literally like looked at her and said, and asked Lorelai, do you have kids? And she's like, yeah, I have a daughter. And she's like, do you ever hate your daughter?
And she's like, no.
And I'm like, that's a really fucked up question to ask. Like,
yep.
That is such a... And, like, basically does the, well, I do. Like, that's like, ugh.
But you can tell, like, she enabled them and spoiled them probably from girlhood and is still doing so. So her own hatred for her children is really a reflection of her hatred for herself and how she chose to raise her children.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a deeper issue there. But they're side characters, so we're never going to unpack that.
And then we cut to Rory and Grandpa actually out golfing. At first, they make it seem like they're not going to get along together, but later on, they actually show them walking and talking. And you get the impression just by them talking that Grandpa doesn't really like rich people.
Yeah.
Like, that is where I first got that like little nudge there, like that he doesn't really like people like that.
They're approached by a lady that's friends with Grandma, and she's like, well, tell Emily I say hi. And then it's a really awkward and uncomfortable situation. And you can kind of tell he doesn't like her. And that gives us the vibe that he understands how fake these people are. Like, it's the first hint we get.
Yeah, but this is also where they bond. And that Rory finds out that his job requires him to travel a lot. And she talks about how she wants to travel. And he's like, oh, you do? And she mentions that she wants to go to the country of Fez, and he's like, I've never heard of it, and she's like, I really want to go.
And she mentions that when she graduates, Lorelai promised to take her on a backpacking trip around Europe, and Grandpa's like, well, we gotta make sure that happens. So he gets excited, because he's like, oh, wow, maybe I have a lot more in common with her, and she asks a lot of questions about my job, and now I'm getting to know her, and we have things in common, because I like to travel, too.
Yeah, and his job requires him to travel, because he is the head of their international arm.
Yeah. But so this is where he's starting to warm up to her and realizing that she's very smart and she's a very worldly person and she has a lot of curiosities and she's, while she's very intelligent and is Chilton material, she's not going to be fakey fake like these other people because he was concerned that she was going to turn into people like at this country club, especially if he took her there. Because I don't think it was necessarily just that he didn't think that he'd enjoy spending time with her per se. I think he was concerned about how it would affect the person she would become if he took her there, because of the types of people that hang out there.
And then later they go to, after they're done golfing and walking around, he takes her to the sauna area. It's like basically it's like, this is where you go to relax. And we see him bring like a newspaper into the sauna. And he did, there are already some rich old dudes in his sauna.
Yeah, there's like three rich old dudes.
He doesn't go to, like, sit next to them and be chummy. He actually sits the furthest distance from our camera view away from them.
And he starts to read because he doesn't really like engaging with these people, but he ends up talking to them anyway because they ask him who this young lady is that he's with because they're getting kind of creepy, like, oh, she's kind of beautiful, creepy, creepy bullshit. Yeah, like
doing the, I'm glad she doesn't have tattoos and piercings like my granddaughter.
First I felt the vibe that they were getting creepy, like they were like, oh, wow, she's hot, and then they did launch into the tirades about their granddaughters. Right.
Basically, they do that kind of stuff, and then he, like, ends the conversation by going, yeah, she got into Chilton 4.0, and they're all like, ooh, 4.0.
And then he mentions that she wants to go to Fez. Oh, no, that's later in the, yeah. When they have lunch.
But then they cut over to Rory in the female sauna, and she's basically hearing all these women gossip about their husbands.
And then another one of them walks in and is like, hey, we need to hang out sometime soon. Yeah, we should totally do that.
It's the same lady as before.
The lady from the golf cart that greeted them and said, hey, tell your wife I said hi.
And then the minute she leaves, they're all like, I can't stand that woman. I fucking hate her.
Something about how, like, she is, like, the worst person ever or something.
Like, yeah, like...
And Rory catches on that these type of people don't like each other and they're not genuine. So she... kind of gets the glance of what this world is actually like.
Yeah.
And she definitely internalizes it.
We then cut to the luncheon where Rory is with her grandpa and she starts talking about how, like, one of the dudes, I guess, is into frills. And he's like, what do you mean frills? And he's like, frilly things. Like, and he goes, oh, well, that's not good. And she goes, why is that not good? And he basically is like, he handles my financing. And she goes, what does frills have to do with finances? And he goes, everything.
Now, one of the guys, she's referring to the wedding that her mom is hosting.
Yeah.
And then he said that reminded him of the guy who handles his financing.
Yeah.
Well, he said, that's the guy that handles my financing, but I think the context was, that reminds me of this guy because he also likes this. I don't think it's actually the same guy.
Yeah, either way, it's used to, like, bond them. And then two of the guys from the sauna show up and are like, oh, is this your granddaughter? She's quite the whippersnapper. Like, doing that kind of thing. Like, talking her up. And they invite them to join them. And then that's where Grandpa lets drop that Rory at some point is going to go to the country of Fez.
What the hell's in Fez?
Yeah, we get, what the hell's in Fez? And he says, that's for her to find out.
And we get the impression of he really genuinely is happy for her for wanting these things. And she kind of smiles to herself because she's so happy that her grandpa really is genuinely happy for her and that they're actually becoming friendly with each other.
Yeah. Then they go and they cut to Rory meeting Lorelai in the Luke's diner. And Lorelai basically, like, sits down, and Rory is still wearing a golf hat that her mom gave, that Emily, Grandma Emily gave her, and looks at her and's like, you look dumb. Like, why are you wearing that?
Well, before she even did that, she was complaining about her day with the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't even ask her about her day. Like, she brought a piece of cake that was, like, made by Suki, I think, and then she's, like, complaining and bitching about her day, and then she notices the hat and says, like, what the fuck are you wearing? You look stupid.
Like, yeah.
In,
like,
so many words. Not exactly that verbiage, because this show is very clean language, because it's meant for millennial teens and their moms.
But, yeah, it was just not great, like, in the sense of, like, parenting points there, of not, how was your day with Grandpa or anything like that? It was, let me vent to you about how awful my day has been.
And I bet your day was awful, too. Like, first of all, the hat looks stupid, and then, I bet your day was awful, too. And she's like, no, we actually had fun.
And then you can see Lorelai get upset and mad that her daughter had fun with Grandpa.
During these last scenes with all of that, I wrote down, Lorelai is giving the vibe that she's very self-centered and jealous of Rory. I think she feels hurt because she probably used to be close with her dad before her pregnancy. And she envies her so much that she actually tries to convince Rory that going to golf should stand in for the weekly dinner. And Rory actually wants to go to the dinner.
Yeah. And that was weird because she did the... Because that conversation about being like, oh, well, I bet you I can finagle this as being our weekly dinner comes about because she's like, well, you hung out with one of them, so this should count. And then Rory pushes back on her, and then that causes the weird conversation about whether or not Rory borrowed one of her mom's sweaters and how she was going to ruin it because they're different sizes and boobs. And it was like, what the fuck are you doing? This is a teenager, and you are clearly larger than her.
And part of what caused that fight, too, is that Lorelai's dad did call to talk to Rory during, like, this meetup that they were having to check in and just to talk with her. And that was kind of like a final straw for Lorelai as far as how she felt. And she was acting out towards it. And I do think it's because she used to be close with her dad. That's one of my predictions. And that she is kind of jealous and resentful that Rory is building that relationship. And she's not handling this with the maturity of a mother to understand that it's not Rory's fault that she had the falling out with her parents. And that, as a parent, she shouldn't be behaving like that. Even if she feels that way, she should be keeping that to herself and maybe talking to an adult friend about it or, you know, a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, she shouldn't be acting out towards Rory for this.
And then the other thing that happens is eventually the twin wedding happens, and then Rory and Lorelai have a heart-to-heart on the porch, and with Rory kind of realizing of, oh, you grew up with Grandma Emily as your mom. Life probably sucked for you because she viewed you as an accessory and not a person.
And Lorelai apologizes for acting out the way she did about, well, she jokes about the sweater, and then she explains that it's because she feels distant from her parents, and that Rory getting close with Grandpa hit a certain kind of nerve for her and kind of made her feel left out of the situation. So she kind of explains why she feels that way.
And then I did write down on here, they were trauma dumping and having this conversation while We Are Family was playing in the background.
Yep.
I was like, that's fucking weird.
That is kind of silly.
That's weird.
I guess I didn't notice that song. I didn't notice that song was playing because while we were at the laundromat today, one of the news networks was covering a pride parade, and that song kept playing because, you know, no. Inclusiveness. So I guess my brain tuned that out because I was sick of hearing that song today.
Yeah, no, I heard that and I was like, they're talking about like deep-rooted family trauma, and We Are Family is playing in the background. And I'm just like, this doesn't hit right for me.
No, this is the wrong tone. But the idea is implying that they're family and they're coming back together and they're trying to navigate the waters of the weird rift in their family.
I get that, but it was
a weird song choice, though.
Totally, it just did not fit for me.
And also, it was a weird song choice for a wedding. But we also wanted Man, I Feel Like a Woman at this wedding, so, you know.
But, yeah, and then we have the dinner scene again, and Grandpa comes in and basically tells Rory, hey, I found that book you were looking for that he called about earlier. He's like, I finally got it in, and I also got a manuscript of his, like, diary or journal. And she was
the
like,
first edition of his memoirs.
And she was like, really? And he was like, yeah, it's in my office. Come follow me. And this is after Lorelai had a little tit for tat with Grandma Emily about Rory enjoying her time with Grandpa and being like, aren't you a little wrong sometimes about what your daughter likes?
And Lorelai begrudgingly agrees with that. And,
yeah, but Grandma Emily actually leaves with Grandpa and Rory to go to the room to look at the books, and it's implied that Lorelai could join them.
But she's still not feeling that rift and chooses not to, but she seems really sad.
But yeah, she's just like left there with her little glass of white wine, just sitting on the couch by herself. So she is now the distant one for the family.
Yeah, but that leads us to wonder, how deep is the trauma and what did happen to cause her to break away from her family? Like, she says it's because she wanted to do things on her own and find her own way, but there was probably something more to it than that, and that's what that implied for me, is that there's something that needs to be discussed and something that really needs healing in that situation before Lorelai will be a part of the unit that is becoming Grandpa, Grandma, and Rory.
But yeah, that's kind of how we ended that, and
then we were like, we're going to take a break, because these three episodes were plenty. And this is not a show I would just binge all the way through. This is something I would watch in doses. And we wanted to talk about all of these things while they were fresh in our mind. Like, we literally just finished watching episode 3 before we started talking.
Yeah. And we also, you know, we really needed to talk about Tristan and his deep throating of a pen after asking, who's that girl?
Tristan is weird and creepy. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck was that? Like, I know you wanted... I can't even use words. The implication is he wants Mary to give him a blowy.
What they were trying to do there is, I think they were trying to do, like, the sexy, like, pull my lower lip down with my finger, but with a pin. But he, because he was, like, moving it back and forth in his mouth, looked like he was sucking on the pin.
It gave me blowjob vibes. I was like, what the fuck is this? In front of his bro, he's, like, chatting with his bro about how hot she is and doing this. In the back of a classroom. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck, Tristan? I know this is a small thing in the grand scheme of things, but what the fuck? But my thoughts so far are that Grandpa and Rory are building a very strong foundation, and that it's going to bring Grandpa and Lorelai eventually to a place where they can discuss what made them break apart. I think Grandma does care about her family in her own way, but I also think she really is wrapped up in keeping up appearances, and we're going to kind of break that down some throughout the show, and eventually she's going to understand that she can't ask people to be who she wants them to be, but she's not anywhere near that right now. And I think if she ever does work on that, she can work on her marriage. And I think that eventually, through all of this bickering and trying to get Grandma closer to Rory in these dinner things, I think Lorelai will also rebond with her mom. I think Mom does actually want to fix what's broken, but I don't think she understands what she did to make this broken. And I don't think she always understands that what she thinks is best for everyone comes off as controlling and abusive in a way.
Yeah.
And I don't think she understands how keeping up appearances and, like, loving her family is blended together into something that she's not able to separate. So I think that that's the thing she's going to work on. Grandpa's going to become warmer and become more of himself again through connecting with Rory. And all of this is going to help Grandpa and Grandma heal with Lorelai. And they're eventually going to become a family again. That's what I think this is going to be.
The Gilmores.
Yes, the Gilmores.
As Grandma Emily
made
a point to mention is... She is a Gilmore, after all.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. And then with romance predictions, right now, we've got Dean Sam and random guy who was talking to Tristan as potential love interest for Rory. And we're going to get to know this other kid that was talking to Tristan a bit more later. And I think he's going to distance himself from Tristan when he realizes how gross he's being to Lorelai.
Yeah.
And then we got Dad from the school that traveled to China and is going to come back and ask again. And Luke for Lorelai. But Lorelai also, I think, said something to Rory at the end of the last episode about, do you think Luke is cute? So she very obviously likes him. And after they walk away from the diner, Luke does walk out to watch her leave. So there's definitely a heavy implication of, will they ever discuss their feelings? So I do think she's going to end up with Luke in the end.
I know School Daddy will probably pop up again, but I do think it would be very funny writing-wise if he just never showed back up. I'm going to China.
Bye!
I'll see you in a week, and then never mentioned again.
We forget about him. I think he's going to be a complication in the Luke and Lorelai love story, but I don't think he's going to be a permanent fixture. No. I do think she's going to end up with Luke in the end. But I think it's going to take us a while to get there. It's not going to happen in season one. It's going to happen in a later season.
And don't spoil it if Dean comes looking for Dean.
For Dean Sam.
We want to be surprised.
Speaking of spoilers, please don't write any spoilers in the comments. I know most of you have probably watched this show already, but in order to interact with you guys in the comments, we are trying to keep this spoiler-free for ourselves because we've never watched these shows, and we want to give genuine reactions, so... Please, please, please keep your spoiler comment free. Your comment spoiler free.
Yeah. There may be times where we watch a show that we have seen and we're just watching it to be critical of it and discuss it.
Or just discuss it. This isn't necessarily meant to be fully critical. This isn't necessarily in the full vein of novel ideas. We're just picking shows that we want to watch on our watch list, like we mentioned in our intro.
That are just something we deem as would be silly and fun to sit through and discuss.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the banger that is Tristan blowing a pin in class, so...
I was not expecting that.
Was not counting on seeing that at all.
I was not expecting that. Prediction, Tristan and that pen get married.
His bro is gonna be the best man of the pin.
Speaking of romantic predictions for the show, Tristan next pen. That's the only one we get right. Goodness. I do have another possible prediction that may not be a romantic prediction that stays. Misha and Harplady. Harplady's kind of into Misha, but Misha doesn't even notice her right now, really.
It's possible.
Or it may end up being a unrequited situation. Also, Fruit Vendor and Suki.
Yeah.
There's definitely something brewing there.
Now, as to the second part of our thing, what did you think of our snack, the Lundberg Cinnamon Toast Rice Cake?
It's okay. I've had other rice cakes that I like better. I like the, like, caramel ones best.
I'd say I liked it. I think it did taste close to Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like the cereal?
Kind of, except puffed rice.
Yeah.
So kind of like Pops, but cinnamon.
Now, knowing that, the three episodes or the rice cakes?
Three episodes, easily. Easily the three episodes. Like, as much as I was at first like, eh, I don't know, the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm actually kind of enjoying it.
I liked episode three out of the ones we watched the most.
Episode three is where it started to get good, because you're starting to see the dynamics of what they're actually going for, like the whole story being about family and all these things that need to be worked on, all these different communication issues that we're having. Now I'm starting to kind of understand, as we're talking about it now, why people like this show, and I actually might enjoy this show, because at first I was like, I don't know, I don't get why girls my age love this show, but now I think I'm starting to get it.
There are definitely still some, like, stuff that did not age well.
Oh, absolutely. The stereotyping, the ED jokes, and the teen pregnancy joke. I didn't like that very well.
But it, like, from what we've watched, I would say episode three was the strongest out of those first three.
Episode three was very enjoyable. Like, that's where I started to realize that Grandpa is my second favorite character, and I'm actually starting to, like, Rory a little bit, but she still is kind of the not-like-other-girls, almost kind of negative stereotype, but also it might be just that she's going through all these weird dynamics and having to be the responsible one out of her and her mom that maybe she's growing on me a little, because I'm starting to understand why she's quote-unquote not like other girls. Like, that might make sense the more I watch this. But Misha's my favorite because he's funny. I love Misha. I would be friends with Misha. And I'm really warming up to Grandpa because I'm starting to see bits of his true colors coming through and seeing him just genuinely wanting to support Rory as she is and meeting her where she is, as opposed to Emily trying to pressure her to be this thing that she wants her to be, keeping up appearances, and basically putting her expectations for Lorelai onto Rory, because Lorelai did not meet those expectations. I do think she means well, but I don't think she understands how she's actually being controlling and kind of deciding someone's life for them, and that's not what you should do with people you love. So I don't think Emily's a villain. I just think she doesn't fully grasp that loving your family and keeping up appearances are the same thing. And that it's okay to love people where they are. And you don't have to have this big, fancy, rich, like, prestigious career to be successful, which I think she eventually is going to realize with Lorelai, is that Lorelai is successful in her own way. Because that is something they touched on a little bit.
Yeah. I would say Emily right now, whereas Grandpa is very interpersonal in his relationships, you can tell that Grandma Emily is transactional, like, in her relationships, like, in everything. Like, even for family, like, she is doing the whole, I can buy my granddaughter's love.
You know what I think, though, now that we're really talking about this? I wonder if there's something in the way that Emily was brought up versus how Grandpa was brought up that makes her think that that's what love is, because I wonder if they both come from money and that's what her parents did to show her love was buy her stuff.
Very, very likely.
Whereas Grandpa, even though I'm sure his mom did buy him stuff and was, like, interested in spoiling her son, I bet you she still nurtured her son's interests instead of trying to buy his affection and pushing him into something prestigious, or in Grandma's case, probably a prestigious marriage.
Yeah, I think Grandma's case was you need to find yourself a man that can support you and that will elevate your status.
Because I definitely think we're fighting against some trad values with this. Definitely fighting some trad things, some very conservative values versus some more liberal thinking and changing of the times. So I do think that we're going to end up unraveling a lot of things and in the end hopefully working towards fixing things and becoming a family again. Like, I'm actually cheering for the Gilmores to work out their shit. I'm actually kind of invested in this now. Like, really thinking about it and talking about it, I actually kind of appreciate where this is going right now.
But only time will tell if we continue to like the show.
Now, that's not to say I don't think there are going to be things that age so badly and things I'm going to think critically about and be like, ugh, why? But the overarching plot has my interest, for sure. And I miss Sam Dean. We only got him in episode one.
Hopefully we'll get more.
I want Sam Dean to beat up Tristan, but I think the other kid at the Ridgier school is going to put him in his place instead. Because I think that's another one of her love interests. But I want Sam Dean to beat him up. I know I should stop calling him that. His name is Dean, but I'm going to call him Sam Dean or Dean Sam, whichever one, forever. Because to me, he's Sam. Like, I've seen the first 3 seasons of Supernatural, so I know him as Sam first. I've never watched Gilmore Girls until today. It's been something I've been thinking about watching for a long time, and then every time I think to watch it, busy with other things.
But now we're gonna watch everything.
From top to bottom and share it with you guys.
So, I think we're gonna end this discussion here.
And definitely talk with us in the comments below and let us know what your thoughts and feelings are. Please, if you do put anything in the comments, do not spoil anything. Don't answer any of the questions we put out there. They're just discussion questions, I guess, and just ponderings. Please don't spoil this for us, but feel free to comment below, have discussions with us on what we've watched so far, and, I'm always awkward about this.
Go check out our other podcast, Novel Ideas, where we cover books.
If that's your thing.
If that's your thing.
And also, if you like this discussion format about video media, definitely join us on Patreon, where we talk about movies, where you don't have to worry about spoilers, because we're watching something that's more self-contained.
And our Patreon is
patreon.com/thelibraryofcursedbooks, linked, of course, in the episode notes, as always. Yep.
And you will also gain access to any bonus episodes related to Novel Ideas that we do on there, because we will be dropping bonus books in there as well.
Absolutely. And then occasionally, with relation to the books, we might do movie watch parties, so I'm learning how to do all of that right now. I'm kind of studying the technology and stuff.
We will get there. Our first movie we're going to be covering for Patreon is going to be
Uglies! We're watching Uglies literally at day of recording. We're watching it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But by the time this airs, we'll have already watched it and it will already have been posted. Because we post those every Friday.
And it'll be a similar format to where we're going to watch it, take notes, and we're going to immediately talk about it.
And then kind of discuss our thoughts and feelings and overarching thoughts and what random snack we try, because kind of the theme with this, with the snacks and snarks, is we're trying a new snack, and then we're gonna snark, but not always necessarily snark, but snark about whatever it is we watched.
Yep. But until next time, thank you for tuning in. Again, please check out our other stuff.
All of it's linked in the comment, or not the comments, the episode notes below. Good job, Elsa. Great job. Yeah.
If you're new, this is how we close things. Awkward closings are...
My God, awkward closings are awkward because we are so awkward. And this is definitely new to us right here.
Byes.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Deuces. Nakemi.